Hey, now when you walk into the ring, the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, everyone out there in Blood River Radio Land. Thank you so much for tuning in. Like I was telling little 19-year-old Cameron, who is a whiz with electronics and stuff, I was telling him that we look forward all week to this day so we can come in there and be with you people, you Blood River Radio people, and so we can do battle against Satan. That's what we're trying to do. And we're trying to increase our range, increase our activities. We're trying to do more and more and more each month. Of course, it depends on, you know, how things go, how money comes in, how many donors we can get, and a lot of other things, not just that. But anyway, people, my name is Eddie L. Miller, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You're listening to Blood River Radio. This is the only radio station in the world that I know of. They're only our flagship issue in the beginning was to fight against global white genocide. The program has been going on for hundreds of years, but it's really picked up speed in the last 100. Our poster child, as you well know, if you've been listening to the show long, is South Africa. But you know what? Like we say, South Africa has come here. The same thing that went on there in South Africa is here now. Anyway, people, we'll cover some more stuff in just a few minutes, but as you know how we always do here in Blood River Radio, we don't do anything without saying a prayer. So people, if you will, just bow your heads for a minute and get ready for a quick prayer. Almighty God, Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Eddie Miller, the God of Blood River Radio, the God of Liberty News Radio, the God of all of our people that are listening, all of our family, please continue to grant us grace. Give us the will, the strength, the wisdom, discernment to do your will, to always fight the battle for you against Satan. Oh God, always make sure that we have enough courage. Help us, oh Lord, because we are weak. Flesh is weak. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Let us always ride to the sound of the gunfire. Let's never let us shirk our duty. Come hell or high water, never let us fear man, but yes, let us fear what the man, the person who can take our soul. We can't fear for the body. Anyway, Lord, if we will, help us this very night to do everything in your will. Everything we do, Lord, let it be your in all your glory. Let your will be done. You receive all the glory. Ask all this in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. Well, people have just a few announcements. If you will, I'm not a very good singer, but I've got to sing happy birthday to someone. And so one stanza, so get ready. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mathemo Goodwin. Happy birthday to you. Yeah, and also, it's Matt Goodwin. He's our little co-host. He's 36 years old today. He's been married 5 months. His wife is 3 months pregnant, so he didn't wait long at all to get going. But anyway, happy birthday to you, Matt. I hope you have a wonderful time where you are right now. And I'm not going to say where you are because, believe it or not, there's a lot of people that hate your guts like they hate our guts here at Blood River Radio because you're one of us. Also, another announcement I'd like to make. The sixth Wednesday will be our third anniversary here at Blood River Radio. We won't do a whole lot. We'll still have our swords in our hand, so to speak. But the fifth year, if we're still here for the fifth year, God willing, it'll be a big to-do. But anyway, people, just bless us. I never thought we would be able to last 3 years. But anyway, we have lasted 3 years. Another little tidbit I'd like to announce. We are still waiting on the lawsuit where Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs have to return to Charlottesville. We have to go back into the belly of the beast up there. Me and Matt, we're going to go with him. That's going to cost one hell of a lot of money. As you know, we've been on the road a lot lately, and it's cost a hell of a lot. I don't know how we've done it, except we couldn't have done it with our donors. But anyway, that's what we got going. And also, I have one other announcement. Nicholas, Jim, our dear friend, brother, and supporter in Washington State, his grandson won first place in his cross country today. And people, that might not be important to you, but it's very important to Jim. It's important to us because, you know, we can't let everything in life go. We have to have a life. Anyway, like I said, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You listen to Blood River Radio. And today's date is October the 2nd, the year of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2021. No, there's no name under the sun which man can be saved other than Jesus Christ. Tonight, we have on two people. The first person coming up tonight is going to be Mark Tomey. He was on our show back the 11th, I believe it was, when we were down there in Pine Level, Alabama. He was on with us. He did a marvelous job. We'll have later on, supposed to have Monica Schaefer coming on. I don't think she forgot, but she's supposed to be coming on. It's riding shotgun with us some tonight, but it's going to be primarily taking off. It's going to be me and Mark. And what I'm going to do, the second hour, we're going to bring in Gene Andrews. He's going to be coming this second hour. He's got a lot of, give us some updates from the Forest Home and things like that. Anyway, right now, without further ado, we're going to bring in Mark Tomey. And Mark, how you doing tonight, young fella?
I'm doing great, Eddie. It's a pleasure to be back on with you.
Great pleasure of being with you. You gave one hell of a speech down there in Pine Level. I think that was the 10th, the Friday the 10th, and Saturday the 11th. But you did a great speech. Someday I would like for you to do that whole speech on the air. But give them a little bio about you, you know, a little biography. I know you're an engineer.
I'm a native Arkansas-er, born and raised over there in that country. Graduated from the University of Arkansas with my engineering degree back in 1983, and been pursuing my career in engineering ever since. Married, have three sons and six grandchildren. So that's kind of the thumbnail sketch.
Well, I'll tell you, I was really impressed. We have somebody I would like to get you on the radio with before too long. We have another fellow. He's an engineer. His name is Fred Leutcher. You've probably never heard of him. Fred Leutcher, he is notorious because, you know, we had all the Canadian, my mind's going blank, the guy who was on trial up in Canada he made a pamphlet. And the pamphlet said, all it said was, did 6 million really die? Mm-hmm. I can't believe I can't think of that guy's name. I'm 74 years old. I bet you Mr. Buddy can remember his name. If he's listening, maybe he can call in if he wants to. But anyway, he was on trial up there. His name will come to me soon. He was on trial. His defense team, they wanted to hire some of the best people in the world. They hired this fellow named Robert Faurisson from France. He was the grandfather of all knowledge on the Holocaust. They brought him over to Canada. And Faurisson said what we needed on their defense was to get a world-class expert on gas chambers and things like that. So they got this Fred Leutcher. And Fred Leutcher took a team to Germany and to Poland. They looked into Dachau, Auschwitz, Belsen, all the so-called death camps. And they went over there as believers in the Holocaust and came back knowing that the Holocaust was a crock. Anyway, he's an engineer, too. I'd like to get him on with you because y'all have those two things in common. The guy's really well-known. I'll think of the guy's name during the break, who they were defending. I can't believe I can't think of that name right now. But anyway,
Ernst Zundel. Ernst Sundel.
All right, Ernst Sundel. That's right. Thank you so much. That's not Mr. Buddy, but I recognize that voice. Well, welcome on tonight. You know, Monica, I was just talking about you a minute ago, and I would like you to meet Mr. Mark Tomey. He was he gave a dynamite speech at the League of the South meeting in Pine Level, Alabama, several weeks ago. He's going to be with us tonight. And before we go any further, let y'all know, the second segment, you guys, we're going to play a 7-minute audio. If you will, I'm not trying to be a school teacher or anything, but pay close attention to that audio. I think I sent it to you, Monica. And you two guys, be ready to respond to that audio. And the audience, too, you could be listening and call in. The person did the audio, did a marvelous job. In 7 minutes, they covered enough stuff we could do 2 hours of radio on. But the guy hit all the points. But anyway, that's what we're ready to do. But anyway, how are you doing tonight, Monica?
Excellent. And I know I wasn't going to be coming in before perhaps the second half, but I heard you struggling to remember the name, so I had to jump in.
Well, I'll tell you what, I could not believe, it's like forgetting my grandfather's name almost, because I talk about him all the time. But I'm glad you called in to let me know that. So anyway, we'll be going to a break any second now. And like I say, when we come back after this first commercial, Cam is going to play a little camera. He's running the board tonight. He's going to be playing that video. And so the audience will know what we're going to do. We're going to hammer solutions, solutions, solutions. As long as I have anything to do with Blood River from now on. I was just reading George Lincoln Rockwell again in White Power. That man was a prophet. And, you know, I've been saying the same thing he said for a long time. We have a lot of people who talk about every single day. They talk about bellyache, about the problems, but they never have a solution. Anyway, folks, there's the music that I was telling you about. We're getting ready to go to a break, and when we come back, Cam's going to start that audio. Be right back, people. Hang on to your seats.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to say something. Well, dear people, we were getting ready to go to this clip. It's a 7-minute clip, and it's I forget the name of it because I haven't looked at it today, but it's about it's about the globalist New World Order and how they're taking over our entire, not just the country, but the world. But you'll get the picture when you listen to it. Go ahead, roll it, Cam.
During his inauguration speech, Joe Biden spoke of confronting and defeating domestic terrorism.
A rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism that we must confront and we will defeat.
John Brennan, former director of the CIA, went on MSNBC that evening and labeled libertarians as domestic terrorists.
I know, looking forward, that the members of the Biden team who have been nominated or have been appointed are now moving in laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about what looks very similar to insurgency movements that we've seen overseas, mm-hmm. where they germinate in different parts of a country and they gain strength, and it brings together an unholy alliance frequently of religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, racists, nativists, even libertarians.
A libertarian is a supporter of a political philosophy that advocates minimal state intervention in the free market and the private lives of citizens. A person who advocates civil liberty. But now, in America, a libertarian is a terrorist. A Trump supporter is a terrorist. A constitutional American is a terrorist. Make no mistake, tyranny has arrived in America. And history tells us what comes next. The tyrants will now go after all political dissidents. There was a time when the liberal media supported democracy and freedom. During the 1989 Tiananmen Square protests, the American media seemed to recognize the dangers of the CCP. But now, along with Hollywood and major sports, the news media is all owned by globalist multinational corporations and the CCP. The pop culture media machine has made all of this possible, and it is now busy preparing their brainwashed flock for mass arrests and re-education camps. A Bernie Sanders staffer and the principal counsel for PBS were separately caught on camera calling for rounding up Trump supporters and putting them in re-education camps. But that was before Biden was in the White House. Now it's all out in the open. Popular morning television co-host Meghan McCain, daughter of John McCain, who funded ISIS and Al-Qaeda in the ongoing war on terror debacle, says that American patriots need to be treated the same as Al-Qaeda terrorists.
I'm not against sending these people to Gitmo, and that may sound extreme. These are domestic terrorists who attacked our own republic. They should be treated the same way we treat Al-Qaeda.
MSNBC's Nicole Wallace suggests the possibility of killing Americans with drone strikes.
Attacking terrorism at its root, of going after and killing, and in the case of Amar al-Awlaki, an American, a Yemeni American, with a drone strike for the crime of inciting violence, inciting terrorism.
Regional director of California Democrats unapologetically suggests rounding up 75 million Americans and putting them in concentration camps. Americans are now being psychologically prepared for the rounding up, brainwashing, torture, and mass murder of American patriots.
It is critical that the FBI does launch the largest manhunt in U.S. history, drag all of these people into prison, and if they're inside the Capitol for a full 20 years for committing sedition against the United States of America.
Question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
Almost all white, almost all Republicans who somehow need to be deprogrammed.
Once we educate them, we coach them on how to interact.
We probably need to double, triple, quadruple, or increase funding for these de-radicalization programs.
Biden's press secretary announces how leftist NGOs will be involved in performing threat assessments on domestic terrorists, meaning if you oppose their Marxist ideology, you are a threat to them. This is all part of the leftist playbook. The Weather Underground was planning for this in the 1970s.
They felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
It is now undeniably here. H.R. 127 will require psychological evaluations and a public database for all gun owners. With the entire nation divided into patriots and obedient cowards, they know who you are, and they know they have the support of the brainwashed masses. They have been preparing the entire world population with COVID-19. Almost a year ago, the WHO's Dr. Ryan announced that they will be entering people's homes and removing family members.
Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
The leftists in power are ready to break our will. They will cut off the power. They will shut down our businesses. They will destroy anyone who stands in their way. And they are now vetting the military to weed out any patriots who might have a problem with the unlawful mass arrests of American citizens. And you can be sure that at least one major false flag, if not several, is already being planned to act as the catalyst for all of this. Another Oklahoma City bombing to blame on libertarian terrorists and American constitutionalists. The new war on domestic terror is beginning. Don't expect it to go slowly. If you are not making decisions and actions today as if your very life depends on it, then you are still asleep in the matrix. Wake up before it's too late. That day is coming fast. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Well, it looks like it's about all that clip.
InfoWars, the most banned network in the world.
Hey, people, I thought that was a real good clip. The fellow, Lee Cochran, sent me that clip. There's a fellow named, his name is Reese. I think it's Greg Reese. He is, under my understanding, he's an independent video audio maker, and he is being sponsored by InfoWars, Alex Jones. I think they did a great job. You know, you have credit where credit's due. So starting with you, Mark, what do you think about that? Is it chilling or
well,
not?
I think it's very chilling, and I think it's all true. Only he who is willfully blind could not look around at the current state of affairs that we have and not come to the conclusion that these are the things that these people have in mind for us. And I like to refer to those kind of people. And I'm going to preface all of my remarks by saying that since I'm a Southern nationalist, all of my responses are going to be tailored from a Southern nationalist perspective, not necessarily from a generic American perspective. Because in the Southern nationalist movement, we see Southerners as different people than Americans. So we don't necessarily take the same attack on many of these issues, but that being said, is that we've been seeing this stuff come for a long time. The way I like to describe the sleepiness, the willful ignorance of most people out there, especially my fellow Southerners, is that they've had way too much Star Spangled Fairy dust sprinkled in their eyes. And they haven't managed to wipe enough of it out yet to be able to look at the U.S. regime and see it for what it really is, which is just another arm or tentacle, if you will, of the globalist octopus that's trying to strangle the life out of all of us.
That's an excellent answer. I'll make a quick comment before we go to Monica. I've often said this Southern is a state of the mind. We have people in. In fact, I have one of my best friends. He listens to us all the time. He's a supporter. And he's up north, but I won't mention his name. But golly, I'll tell you what, people, well, hold that comment. I hear the music. And when we come back, I'll make a finish back to my quick comment. And we're going to go right back to we get Monica Schaefer, my little sister. We're going to get her slant on this audio. Be right back, people.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Vice President Kamala Harris's office is reportedly making amends after she failed to push back against a college student who accused Israel of ethnic genocide during a question and answer session earlier this week.
Your perspective, your experience, your truth cannot be suppressed, and it must be heard. The point that you are making about policy that relates to Middle East policy, foreign policy, we still have healthy debates in our country about what is the right path, and nobody's voice should be suppressed on that.
Harris's senior staff reached out to Democratic Majority for Israel in order to shore up relations with the pro-Israel organization, according to Politico. More U.S. air carriers, American Airlines, Alaska Airlines, and JetBlue have announced they will be requiring employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, according to research, 82% of people remember radio ads. That means that 82% of you listening right now will remember that this is an ad for ZipRecruiter. If you're hiring, 82% of you will recall that ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And 82% of you will note that you can try ZipRecruiter for free today. But you have to go to ZipRecruiter.com/find. 82% of you will keep in mind that ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified people for your job and actively invites them to apply.
Scott, is that you? Who are you talking to?
82% of you will also know that I, live with my mom. But the most important thing to note is that ZipRecruiter works. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Will you be part of the 82% who remember where you can try ZipRecruiter for free? It's ZipRecruiter.com/find. Again, that exclusive link is ZipRecruiter.com/find. That's ZipRecruiter.com/find.
A North Carolina-based hospital system has fired 175 employees for failing to comply with its COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Healthcare worker Carlton DeHart was one of those losing their jobs. She joined Fox and Friends Weekend to discuss being fired.
I am personally not taking the vaccine because I'm undergoing fertility treatment, and I did not feel comfortable adding a not long tested unknown into my situation. So I knew I was going to be suspended. They had not given us any more information than that. So on the 15th, I worked my last day. On the 16th, my access was removed.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has called on the state's lawmakers to impose harsher penalties for illegal voting. Abbott, on September 30th, asked the Secretary of the Texas Senate to identify legislation that would raise the penalties for illegal voting. This is USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Dear people, thank you for holding on. I tell you what, I wish we had about 3 hours to do this. So that clip really hit so many points that would take us 6 or 8 hours to cover. Anyway, Monica, did you get any salient points out of it? But they were all just salient. What was your impression of the audio, Monica?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, really, what was said there, you could say it's just full-blown communist tyranny, where everything is reversed, and the very language they use, the re-education centers. I mean, George Orwell's 1984 comes to mind, the book that he wrote. And, you know, when they're talking about domestic terrorists, who are those people? And I have to say, you know, it started out, that clip started out with the Trump supporters being rounded up and the Trump being a traitor, but I think his role was to act as a flypaper to demonstrate who is actually you know, a nationalist and people who, I mean, something that did happen under Trump is that I think a lot of people did wake up to the white genocide agenda. And so that's good. But then, you know, they're basically all identified as these diehard capitalists must be eliminated. And, you know, 25 million of them, that would be in the United States. And how many million in Canada? I don't know. And then COVID being the tool so that they can go door to door and remove family members, put them in these quarantine centers, supposedly to keep everybody safe from this non-existent illness or just the flu renamed. And that's just the tool. And that's how they are pulling off this grand deception, because the people who are still fearful of the disease and going along with the agenda are just, you know, marching like lemmings off of a cliff in all of that. And yeah, it was a chilling 7-minute clip. At the same time, I think that we have to project our desired path forward. So in that clip, you know, it's very, you could say it's very frightening. It makes you feel like, oh, they've already got it. They've won. They want to make us very, very afraid. But you see, they are very afraid as well of the grand awakening, you could say, that people are actually coming to this, their senses, they're being rattled awake. It's like Yuri Betsmanov when he says that, you know, you can lead people by the hand and show them, but they won't believe it if they've had, you know, several generations worth of this indoctrination and demoralization program, which has taken place and softened everybody up. And also they've kept us all fat and happy for quite a while now, which makes the general population, first of all, they trust the system. They still trust that the government is doing what's in their best interests, but also not only that trust, but oh gosh, I lost my train of thought there. I was just on a roll there to say that,
the blind obedience too, Monica.
Yes, thank you. That blind obedience. But you see, they are very afraid of us waking up. And so we have to project our desired path forward just like they do. They're projecting their desired path forward and trying to fill the population with fear and that, you know, there's no hope, no future, this kind of thing, and zombify us all before the masses do wake up or a critical mass does wake up. But our desired path forward is that we actually win this, that we come out. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't going to be rivers of blood. I think there will be. This is coming, and it's already there because many, many, many people have died from that injection, which I refuse to call a vaccination. So it's in our faces. I mean, even if you just took the VAERS number, the V-A-E-R-S, the official reporting system numbers, it's an awful lot. And of course, rough estimates are that perhaps only 1% of this injection injury or death is reported. So really, it's in the millions, I think, already that have died. So anyway, we have to project our desired path forward. You're talking about solutions, and that is that we absolutely resist this, that we win. We do not participate in their agenda. And that means that, yeah, it means people are going to lose their jobs. It's going to get really rough. We have to, I like what you said, we need a homeland. It needs to be separate. It needs to be for our people, white people, and that, you know, we don't need them. They are the parasite class, and we don't need the parasite. We can build, we can create, we can grow food, we can do these things. And if we get rid of the parasite or get them out of where we want to be, then we can make, you know, we can live. That's what we have to do. That's our desired path forward. We must absolutely refuse to take that injection. And, you know, there are a lot of people who have taken it and they regret it. And, okay, that's what's done is done, but don't take any more. And fight on our side. We're in a war. It is an all-out war. They want to kill many millions of us. So we do need to fight back. And, you know, when they do come to the door, I'm telling you, they're trying to kill us. It's time to actually kill them. It's a war. So, yeah, that's my comment for now.
What you just said, Monica, reminds me of something. I think it was Alexander Solzhenitsyn who talked about the Bolshevik revolution in Russia and made the comment about, you know, instead of letting the officials come to our doors and drag us out into the streets and off to who knows where, if only everybody in the apartment building had gotten together with baseball bats and whatever other weapons they could find and had beat those agents to death. And if that had happened on a regular basis, a lot of the things that happened probably would not have happened, but people didn't resist. They were willing to just let things happen. And I think for those of us who study history, and hear people who lived through events like that make statements along that line, we should realize that it's incumbent upon us that there is a time for resistance to tyranny. And that not only means getting out on the street corner with a sign or writing a letter to your elected representative, at some point it means having to use physical resistance against these people in whatever form it may have to take. As I've said to a number of people over the last few years, is that when it comes to tyrants like this, they see people gathering on the street corners or, you know, doing petitions and things like that. And I think it gives them a chuckle. Because they realize at the end of the day that's ineffective because they control all the institutions. And so the final resort of those who love liberty, who love Western Christian civilization, have to come to the realization that the last resort is that the only kind of resistance that those people understand is the kind that issues forth from the muzzle of a discharging rifle.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is no longer just okay to, peaceful protest, yeah, that's fine and good, and writing letters, all of the above is good. However, they are trying to kill us, and I think you're right, they might just be chuckling about it. And, you know, the peaceful protests and all that, well, they also give people the sense that, gee, you know, we're doing something about it. But no, I mean, at some point, violence is the only thing that will work. And, you know, we just have to think about our ancestors. They were warriors. They protected their women, children, their villages, their lands. They protected those lands. They were warriors. And they loved nothing more than peace, but they were warriors. And that's how they were able to maintain their villages and their lands intact and their people, protect their people.
Exactly. Yeah, I was not long ago was listening to a sermon by one of my favorite traditional Catholic bishops, and the title of his sermon was being able to live at peace with other men. And, you know, from a Christian perspective, yes, we should desire as much as possible to live in peace with our fellow man. But that hinges on one very crucial thing, and that is the goodwill of other men. And when other men are not of goodwill, you cannot live at peace with them.
That's true.
Absolutely.
We got to go to a break, people. When we come back, I've got a quick question to ask Mark, and then we also, Miss Monica could respond after Miss Mark. After Mr. Mark. People, hold on. We'll be right back. We have Mark Tomey. And my little sister, Monica Schaefer, on tonight, and we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're not going to waste any time. I'm going to go back with a couple of questions. I've got a question from Mark, and I've got a question from Miss Monica, because I've been paying attention. They've been taking me to school. We'll start with Mr. Mark first. Mr. Mark earlier mentioned early on in the show, people of blind obedience. I call them useful idiots. The great General Nick Glastovic calls them the apparatchiks. Mark, he said, the general said that in the Soviet Union, people, including myself, would marvel how just a handful of satanic Jews got complete control of probably the largest country in the world, the Russia at that time. How the hell they do it? Well, he said they would go into, I'll see if I can make this real quick, they would go into small areas, say, for instance, like my cove where I live in with 10 houses, and they would pick up one person in the cove and say, hey, we're going to make a big communist official out of you. And it'd usually be the dumbest guy on the block. And they'd give him a little authority. They'd build him up, and he would turn all of his other people in for the least little infraction. For instance, see something, say something. They called them apparatchiks over there. The general said they were apparatchiks. So, with that in mind, how are we going to, and I would like to fuse that into the question I'm going to ask Miss Monica in a minute. This great awakening, I really have my doubts about the great awakening. But, Mark, how can we tie this blind, useful idiots, apparatchiks in with the so-called great awakening that's coming? Also, Dave, one more quote. Dave Gehary, bless his heart, he's in the hospital. He said, if you come out on your front porch, Mark, if you want to see who your enemy is, look to your left and look to your right. The man who lives in the house next door to the left, the man who lives in the house next door to the right, those are your enemies. The general said those will be their apparatchiks 18 times out of 20. How about that, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in the clip that we listened to earlier, they talked about religious extremism. And, of course, they were referring to devout Christians as the religious extremists. But what people have to realize is that loyalty to the United States of America has become a religion in and of its own right over the last 150 years. It just like every other religion, it has its high priests, it has its acolytes, it has its public ceremonies and its idols and everything else that have to be worshipped. And people have, who consider themselves Christians, by and large, have abandoned traditional Christianity and what it teaches for what a good friend of mine in Tennessee called Americanity, where instead of our Lord Jesus Christ being worshiped and his laws being followed, our loyalty, our allegiance, our obedience, our faith is put in the government of the United States of America. Its flag is the equivalent to the cross. You know, the president is equivalent to the Pope, and, you know, so on and so forth. And they actually worship the state. And until you can convince enough people that they need to stop worshiping the state and see it as the enemy rather than as it their savior, then there are only going to be a few of us who are going to be enlightened enough and wary enough to want to try to band together and resist what's going on. But, you know, I was watching college football game earlier this afternoon. You know, I mean, one of the first things they do, they can't pray. They can't say a prayer to Jesus before the game starts, but everybody in that stadium, 100,000 people will stand up, put their hands over their hearts, take their hats off, and lovingly and tearfully look at that flag flapping on that pole and sing the Yankee national song and think what a great, wonderful, free country they live in. And, you know, they're so deluded. They're so fooled by this that they just can't see the reality of it. And until you can deprogram these people to where they can see the truth rather than this pie in the sky fantasy that they have been brainwashed with their whole lives, that their parents were brainwashed with, that their great grandparents and great grandparents were brainwashed with, until you can break through that facade, it's a tough row to hoe, as we say down here in the South.
I would add to that religion part, I would add to that the Holocaustianity. That's also a religion.
Oh, and, yeah. And Christian Zionism is one of the worst things, yeah.
Yes.
And what that has done is put the guilt cult on us all. It's not just the guilt cult on the German people, but by extension, the entire white race. So that can all be, you know, brought back to this Holocaustianity religion. So couple that with what you were saying, the religion of the flag, and where the people do not realize that the government is actually the enemy of the people, because they are being run by the hidden government, always the hidden government, and we know who that is, the same ones who have foisted their religion of Holocaustianity on us. So we couple that together. And I agree with this useful idiot part, but I would just add to that that the useful idiots become the useless idiots. What these people do not realize is that the Jews actually hate them more than anybody, because the so-called useful idiots are actually traitors to their own people. And they then very quickly become the useless idiots, and they'll become the first to be killed, actually, when their usefulness has expired.
Oh, yeah. Monica, I have a contemporary analogy for that situation. And for those out there in the audience who are may be familiar with the teen comedy movie from the, I think it was in the 80s, called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And so there was a scene in there where he was talking about his friend who was going to marry the wrong kind of woman, and she was going to mistreat him and all this other kind of stuff. And he said that the reason that he would allow himself to be mistreated is because a person like a woman like that he would marry couldn't respect him, because you can't respect somebody who kisses your rear end. And I've cleaned it up for the radio audience. And so I've dubbed it the Ferris Bueller effect. These people who cooperate with this evil regime, they think that when that regime wins total victory, that they will be lauded and praised and occupy high, powerful offices and whatnot. But because of the Ferris Bueller effect, they will be the first ones to get a bullet in the head, because you can't respect someone who kisses your backside.
And you can't trust them. They cannot be trusted.
Exactly. If they'll turn on their own people, then if somebody else can give them a better inducement than you, then what's to keep them from turning on you too?
Exactly. And, you know, when you talked about the neighbors look to your left, look to your right, those are your enemies. I always recall my brother Alfred was always saying, you know, this is before he went to jail, he was doing his utmost to educate everybody in the neighborhood and a wider neighborhood being friends and family as well, but also in the immediate neighborhood about true history, because he said that was a way of immunizing himself against them becoming traitors and turning him in. You see, so that part of it, you know, when we're talking about solutions, it's still absolutely critical that we try our utmost, along with everything else we're doing, but we try our utmost to wake people up, and it can be one by one by one. Just, you know, ask a few questions that things just don't make sense anymore. Ask, how does this make sense? How does that make sense? And with the COVID thing, how does it make sense to force everybody to take an experimental injection with the and it's causing all these bad side effects? And how can it make sense? How can masks make sense? Now for children, children don't get sick. You know, no children die from this so-called COVID thing. How does it make sense? You see, so they just have to wake people up if it's one by one by one, and then we immunize ourselves against them becoming traitors against us and turning us in. Okay, is it too late, too little? I don't know, but that's really important.
Well, you know, I can't, like you, Monica, I can't believe this hour is going so fast. I hope the fellow's going to come through and get us 3 hours. We can go to get a 3-hour show. But before we go, I was going to say, just chip in this bit, Ferguson, Missouri, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Seattle, Washington, the place in Portland, Oregon, yep, Chicago. We've seen these cities burn to the friggin' ground. I saw people coming down here a little over a year ago from Minneapolis, St. Paul. Guys, do you know what they told me? They told me that they even had people that had their houses burned down, and it still wouldn't wake them up. I said, what about, you know what, they've totally destroyed Minneapolis, St. Paul. What about these apparatchiks, these cucks, when the blacks and the BLM start coming and burning their houses down, then that'll wake them up, won't it? And they said, no. They know some of them had their houses burnt down, and they said they deserve to have their houses burnt down because of their white privilege and if they were, like, paying their penance. I know we're about out of time. What do you think about that, Mark? Can we wake these people up? Is there any way to wake them up?
Short of a miracle, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. But as Monica said, and I totally agree with her, and I'll reinforce what she said, we have to keep doing everything that we can to educate our friends and neighbors, our family, and our wider communities as much as we possibly can. And I know sometimes it feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall. It does for me. I've been preaching Southern independence and secession for 25 years now. And, I've managed to bring a few people around over the years, but for the most part, when I'm still around friends and family, and I bring up that particular topic, it's like, oh, that'll never work, it'll never happen, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if you want to sit on your butt and just let them come do whatever they want to you because you can't fathom a different design of a flag flying on the pole or having a different name on the map, then you deserve what you're going to get.
Let me ask you this, Monica, before we run out of time. Should we copy what our enemy has done into education to wake people up? What age? Or could we say 8 years old? I used to preach to my grandson, but not enough. When should we get these people, if possible? Are we going to be allowed to get the children? How can we get to the children, the young people? Because I think they are probably the most malleable, the most apt to be woken up. What about that, guys?
First of all, don't send them to school. The public fools system is absolutely dangerous place these days to send your children. So keep them out. And then the second thing is inspire them to love their traditions, their culture. Teach them about our culture. They need to love our people instead of hating themselves.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Mark. Mark, we'll have to get back with you. We've got to get you back on. The hour just goes so fast. God bless you. Thank you for coming on the Mark. Thank you so much. Thank you, Ms. Monica.
I appreciate the opportunity, Eddie. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, people, we're getting ready to go transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up Gene Andrews, Ms. Monica, and Gene Andrews going to ramrod the second hour. We'll be right back.